It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, what a great day it is to be serving the Lord. I'm glad you were able to join me today as we look into the Word of God. Right now, I'd ask you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. And I trust that you do have your Bible, if at all possible. Now, if you're driving in an automobile or something, I don't know where you're at, but if you're in an automobile, please do not open the Bible if you're driving, that is. And listen as I read the Word of God. But if at all possible, have your Bible open, the King James Version of the Bible, that is the Word of God. Well, in Romans chapter 6, and we want to look at verses 1 and 2, first of all, where Paul says in verse 1, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, in chapter 5, Paul ended that chapter by saying that sin abounded. But he also added that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And now he says in the verses we just read, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, his answer, of course, in verse 2 says, God forbid, no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, we continue looking on at verse 2, and Paul asks the question, how shall we continue? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, and the first part of verse 4, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, we are identified with Christ in his death by baptism according to the Scriptures. Well, the reference to baptism in Romans chapter 6, in our text that we're looking at, Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 through 5, it clearly implies immersion as no other mode would or could portray the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, likewise, immersion also portrays the death of the believer to his old nature. Well, let me quickly add that baptism by water does not save anyone. Remember, Jesus is already speaking to people who are already saved here. And he's using Paul to pin down the words. See, Paul is speaking to these people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. They're already saved. So he's saying that we are identified with Christ. We have been identified by baptism. We're letting the world know that we have been saved. That just as Jesus was killed, he was hung on that cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And just as he did that, we are identifying ourselves with that death, burial, and resurrection. And the way we do that is by going down into the water and coming up out of that water. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it tell us that when a person gets baptized, I don't care what someone tries to tell you, the Scriptures do not bear this out, that a person is saved by baptism. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that. And Paul is not trying to tell us here that a person is saved by baptism. Remember, he's speaking to saved people. He's writing this to the church at Rome. And if someone tries to tell you that you're saved any other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in him alone, they're taking out of context. If they say they know in the Scripture, they can show you in the Scriptures, they're taking it out of context. And we need to believe God instead of man. Read the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and let him guide and direct you. Well, look with me in verse 4 now of Romans chapter 6. The remainder of this section of Scripture, and we'll go through verse 7 here, It says, notice that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is verse 4. And then we see verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and there's that baptism again. It's a symbol of his death, planted like he was in his death. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. When we go down into the baptismal waters, what we're doing is identifying ourselves with Christ, with his death, burial, and resurrection. I've said that. And we're telling the world that we have died to sin. We should walk in newness of life. And having been united together in the likeness of his death and resurrection, we are to recognize that we have been crucified with him. Telling the world this, that no longer slaves of sin, but freed from sin. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 9 says this, For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We've been saved. We've been raised with Christ from the dead. In God's sight, we are in Christ. And just as Christ gave his life for us, God sees us in the life of Christ. We are no longer our own at this point. And we'll see that the more as we go over the book of Romans. I pray that you read the book of Romans. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, he's carrying on this idea of not living for sin any longer, but living unto Jesus Christ, presenting our bodies living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. Now, we do that by trusting fully in Jesus to take care of us. Now, we've already been saved according to the Scriptures when we've asked Jesus Christ into our heart, and therefore we are able to present our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service unto God. Well, I want you to notice something else here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, we've already read that a dead person is set free from sin. When we recognize ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or dead with Christ, then we're freed from sin. Well, that doesn't mean that a person cannot sin. I'm talking about this body. As long as we're in this body, we have a problem. And that's the reason this body is going to die. The Bible tells us that this body is going to be changed. And when it is changed, we're going to be fashioned like our Lord. The new body that we receive, that new body will not sin. But I'll have you to know this, that this real person, myself and you, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the real person, you cannot sin, because that is what goes to heaven. Now, this body is not going to go to heaven. And Paul, once again, is talking to us through the book of Romans. He's taking us through there, and he's telling these people that he's writing to there in that church, he's speaking to us as well. He's speaking to the people at Rome here in the book of Romans, the Christian church, that they are not to live in sin, not to look for sin, not to try to sin, not to give in to sin, but to do what God wants them to do and live unto him. That sin no longer, that sin would not reign or have control over that body. But we know that we have problems in this life. And one day, thank God, this life will be over. And we will be with the Lord forever. And we don't have to worry about the sin problem anymore when we're with the Lord, because it will be taken care of completely for us as children of God. Look with me, if you would, in verses 8 through 14 of Romans chapter 6. Paul continues his idea about being dead with Christ. He starts once again in verse 8. He says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." These verses are telling me in the beginning here that having died with Christ, we will live with him, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." You see, that's a promise to us from our Heavenly Father, from Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, our Savior. Now, William Newell wrote this. See, Newell was a great preacher. He was a great man of God. When I say great, he was simply a human being, but God used him greatly in the work. And he says this, this word shall also be living with him. Must finally include, doubtless, the consummation of our salvation at the coming of Christ, and the fashioning anew of our mortal bodies. But the word refers directly to that expressed by Paul. Now, it's talking about the Word of God here. He's talking about the Word of God and what Paul is saying. He says it's expressed by Paul, and he says in Galatians 2:20, where I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But when Jesus comes back, and that was William Newell wrote that, but when Jesus comes back for us, whether we meet him in the air or at the rapture, and at the rapture of the church, or whether we are alive and meet him in the air, or whether we're gone on, we've given up the breath of life, whether these bodies are in the ground or whatever has taken place, whether we've died this with this physical death that man dies, and Jesus says that one day sin is going to be eradicated complete. It makes no difference how we go to be with the Lord, but it's going to be eradicated from ourselves, and until then, we are to submit it to God. We are to give ourselves wholly over to the Lord, to let him take our lives and fashion us, to let him do with us what he pleases to be in his service.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.